morning and welcome, everyone. Night three, the third and final night of RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call, broadcasting from the RCN Famarama. Off to a rocking start, thanks to the Southern Lehigh Marching Band. We're going to hear from them in just a little bit with another set of musical performances. Plus, the Nazareth Cheerleaders are here, one of our favorite groups back again this year. They always put on a great show. Glad to have you back. You glad to be back here at the Famarama? All right, we're going to call on you for some football insights later in this show as well. And first, speaking of football experts, they are here once again, joined by an all-star panel of knowledgeable football insiders from the RCN Sports Department. My partner for this weekend, John Breidinger from EasternPAFootball.com, Mr. Dave Micah, and the senior sports writer at The Morning Call and co-host of the program, Mr. Keith Edward Groler. And Keith, you have some family here tonight. Hopefully, unlike my mother-in-law, she won't leave halfway through the show to go to the bathroom and not come back, which I'm still upset about, by the way, here. But my parents are here, too. But your family is here as well. You want to signal them out? Can we get a
shot?
Not
really. They want to hide under the bleachers up there.
They're hiding behind the entire Nazareth cheerleading choir, right?
But it's great to have family here. I've been on this show for about a year now, coming up in a year, and these have been three of the best shows that I can remember. All good local stuff. Local content, local bands, local cheerleaders, local football, you can't beat it.
And we want to give a shout-out to Al Trump, who organizes the Hobo Band. He's over here, a great follower.
The king of the hobos right there, the great Al Trump.
We got to have the Hobo Band on next year. We got to talk to Paul Lewis and get you guys on board here for next year, too. But we're very happy to have the Southern Lehigh Band and the Nazareth Cheerleaders here again. We're going to be hearing from them. They're going to be performing, and we're going to have some interviews with them in just a little bit. We are going to talk some football here on stage, our fifth primer show. Hopefully you've seen our previous four episodes. If not, they're available on demand for RCN subscribers. On the RCN website or at themorningcall.com. I'm going to make a prediction now, and I want to hear if the Southern Lehigh and Nazareth people and all the people in the audience agree with this prediction. What do you say that Nazareth wins the EPC South and Southern Lehigh wins the Colonial League? Would you agree with that? All right, that's it. That's our program. Good night, everyone. We'll see you next week. All right, I'm told we have a few more minutes left in our show, so I will ask the experts and put them on the spot here, staring at fans from Southern Lehigh and Nazareth. Southern Lehigh, of course. We're going to focus on the Colonial League more tonight. John, first up, Southern Lehigh, what do you think about them? I know you've been touting them for a couple years, but could this be the year that they are the undisputed Colonial League champs?
I think this is Southern Lehigh's year. Southern Lehigh, they're due. They're always contenders. They're always competitive. They're extremely well coached. And Southern Lehigh, being one of the larger schools in the Colonial League, has some numbers. They always have some good depth, and they have terrific athletes. That shows in all their sports. So I am picking Southern Lehigh this year, although, you know, it's high school football, so anything can happen. That's what makes it fun.
Dave, you've also been high on Southern Lehigh the last few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, they return their quarterback, their running back. They have a star receiver. They have a lot of players back. Absolutely, they are one of the teams that could win this league, and I think they're the heavy favorite.
Keith?
I wouldn't say heavy favorite. I think they are favorite. I think Palisades looked awfully good. I picked Southern Lehigh to win in our preview section a couple Sundays ago. I think Palisades looked awfully good. You can't count out Notre Dame. Saucon Valley? Until you beat them, Saucon Valley is the defending champion. So there's some great, great matchups that are going to be happening. There's a couple of good ones this week, but really mega matchups. I think next week, Notre Dame over at Southern Lehigh is going to be a huge game. And almost every week as you go through that Colonial League season, you could star a couple matchups that are going to be really exciting and really have a lot to do with who wins the Colonial League title.
And, John, I think you mentioned Palisades. They have 10 returning players back on offense among starters, 10 defensive starters all coming back. And week one, they had a tough opponent taking on Notre Dame. Looked very solid in that game, jumped out to a big lead. Notre Dame had a comeback, but Palisades held on. Even though they're one of the smaller schools in the Colonial League, I would have to think they are certainly going to be in the hunt for the Colonial League race this year.
Well, I'm told by a very informed source who teaches at Palisades and coaches somewhere else that this is the best team they've had since Palisades did so well, so their best team in maybe 10 years. And what's key is, while Palisades will only start maybe six seniors, the rest of the juniors all play to sophomores. A lot of confidence, a lot of experience on that football team this year. And again, Kevin Ronalds has been around a little bit. Colonial League guy, the head coach there, knows his players, knows what to get out of them, knows how to pace those guys and get the most out of a rotation, especially in the line. So Palisades will be a contender, I believe, this year. And but I think that, you know, as Keith said, Saucon Valley's a champ. Saucon Valley always produces some athletes. You're going to see Austin Wolf move from all-league receiver to now quarterback at Southern Lehigh, or Saucon Valley. So it's going to make it very interesting teams to watch this year.
And Palisades is normally a team, you know, if they have one or two stars, you think, all right, you kind of key on them. And then if an opposing team can stop them, they have a good shot at beating them. But this year you got Coletti and Gretzinger, two outstanding wide receivers. Ethan Brader, the returning quarterback, did a nice job last year, has a year of experience under his belt. Coletti and Gretzinger are backfield, running out of the backfield. McGrath is the stud at wide receiver. So they have multiple weapons. So you can't just key on one or two people this year. And they can, I know they want to run the ball and establish the run for a lot of their games. That's going to be their key game plan this year. But they can also pass the ball.
Yeah, and they can. But you're right. I mean, that duo might be the best combination in the Colonial League this year. And Keith and I, we were at that game. They jumped out to a big lead. Notre Dame did come back, make a game of it. But you're right. They could either run, they could pound the ball, or with Ethan Brader, they could throw the ball.
What really impressed me, and we were on the sidelines for that one down in Kitnersville last Friday night, how physically tough Palisades is. They beat up Notre Dame up front on both sides of the ball. Now, Notre Dame trailing 22-3, Notre Dame did hit a couple of big pass plays, which you're going to do with a Phil Stanball offense. But for, I would say, 40 minutes plus, Palisades really took it to them up front, and I think Palisades is capable of taking it to a lot of people this year.
Now, Notre Dame, John, you and I had their state playoff run culminating with a great effort in Hershey. They lost some key people. They bring a lot of people back. The quarterback is back. But the physicalness, and you know, it was interesting you said that about Palisades winning the line of scrimmage in that game. That was kind of the issue last year when they were getting matched up against bigger teams, especially on the defensive side. They don't match up well with some teams. But do you think they can overcome that? Do you think they can have that wide-open approach and still have as much success as they had last year?
I think Notre Dame will create an offense that Notre Dame thrives in having track meet football games. They want to score all the points they can. They're going to try to hang on in defense. One of their better linemen returns, Mickey Gaetano, comes back. They have a linebacker, wide receiver named Isaiah DeJesus, who had a nice year last year and is a hitter for a guy his size. But I think that they have lost some key guys, especially up front, and they're going to have to figure out a way of keeping people bending and not breaking, keeping people under control so that offense can stay on the field and make plays like they did when they tried to come back at Palisades. That's how I see Notre Dame.
Yeah. Keith and Dave, what are your thoughts on the Crusaders this year? Do you think they can have another big run?
I think they're capable of a big run. I mean, they're in the 3A classification, which helps. Cole DeFranco, he was pounded last week. He was running for his life. He was pounded. Sacked numerous times, thrown for a loss many, many times, and yet he kept getting back up and slinging the ball around. And they got weapons. They got speed on the perimeter, as they always do over there. And they're going to win games just on athleticism. There's no question about it. Phil Stanball, I believe, runs the most creative offense in the Lehigh Valley, and they're going to score points. Now, will the physical teams, will a Southern Lehigh, which can hit you with multiple weapons, are they going to be able to go match them touchdown for touchdown? I don't know. Saucon Valley, they're going to run into some problems here when they're going against the stronger teams in that league. Now, I expect them to bounce back against Bangor this week. I expect them to maybe score 42, 49 points. But in those big games, you saw them, held down by Palisades. Will that offense be able to match what their defense is going to give up in those bigger contests?
And I'm glad John mentioned DeJesus, because we saw a lot of him. You know, they had those blowouts, but I thought Phil did a great job of working in a lot of younger players. I think he was a sophomore last year. We saw a lot of sophomores get a lot of valuable time, so they're going to be rewarded now as juniors getting more playing time. Dave, your thoughts on Notre Dame and their battle, not only in 3A, but in the Colonial League?
Yeah, I mean, at that game, too, they dropped, I bet you, at least 8 balls in that game. And give credit to Cole DeFranco. I mean, he battled back, and you know, they were – basically a touchdown away from pulling that game out. But you have a guy like Grubb that, you know, he's going to get his carries. He's a guy that actually, you know, he had over 100 yards receiving in that game. O'Hare's another guy that they're going to throw out. So they have weapons. I just think it was a lack of, you know, it was the one scrimmage, not playing two scrimmages, and dropping a lot of balls. And just honestly, they kind of beat themselves in that game.
All right, this is our third and final sports talk from the Great Allentown Fair. We have some great performances coming up from the Southern Lehigh Band and the Nazareth Cheerleaders, plus interviews with them coming up a little bit later in tonight's program. We're glad you're joining us. Don't forget to check out all the great programming on RCN from the Famarama all week long here on RCN-TV, and you can also check it out through RCN On Demand. Sports Talk videographer Alyssa Scheckler was out the last few weeks prior to the start of the season doing interviews with a lot of the local football teams in the area. You can catch a lot of those interviews available on the RCN-TV website at rcn.com/RCN-TV. Tonight we send you a sample of some of the Colonial League interviews.
Colonial League's tough. There's a lot of good teams, a lot of great coaches, and you know, it's a challenge. Week in and week out, it's a challenge with this league. So we got to be prepared. We got to do our homework and make sure our kids are doing everything that they need to do to prepare themselves.
Practices have been going well. We've been working hard out here, and we're just really trying to turn the program around.
We're looking to do better than last year. We're all excited. We're all working hard. No one on this field's going to quit.
You know, everybody's putting in the effort that we need to get better, and I think it'll pay off.
They're hungry. They're hungry for success. They've put in a tremendous amount of time, and you know, they're looking forward to it.
Phil, we graduated a big senior class last year that, you know, went to the district finals. So we got a lot of spots to fill. But again, the kids have put a lot of time in. I see them working on the field. I see them, you know, being very coachable. So I think they're ready to go and ready to fill those spots.
The team's starting to understand a lot of things. It's a pretty young team this year, so it's a lot of reps and taking our time in the drills.
The nine seniors we have, we've worked hard our whole high school career, so I think we'll be able to perform the best of our abilities. Young guys, Gavin Ammerman, he's a freshman. He's going to look to start, and I think he's going to do well.
I feel like everyone's probably really excited because it's the first game, and no matter how it goes, I'm with this team, and we're all together, and we're going to stick through it all season together.
I think it can go any way we want it to. We're the ones in control of it, and if we do the best we can, I think there's no limit.
Great job once again by the Nazareth Cheerleaders. They're going to be back performing again a little bit later and talking with us about their season coming up, plus some more great performances from the Southern Lehigh Band. This is the third and final night of RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call, giving you insights and primers on the EPC South on our Tuesday night show, EPC North on last night's show, and tonight we're focusing more on the Colonial League. John Breidinger from the RCN Sports Department, Dave Micah from EasternPAFootball.com, and Keith Groller from The Morning Call breaking down the Colonial League here tonight. Let me go in a different direction and talk about three teams that had big wins this weekend. John already has a big smile on his face because one of them is his alma mater, Wilson, with a monster win against Penargil. I know the Green Knights lost a lot of people last year, but boy, did Wilson put up some historic record-breaking numbers last weekend. Do you want to speak for about 15 minutes about the Warriors right now?
Well,
we have them this Saturday, so we're
and we have them Saturday. I was at practice there tonight, and their confidence level's up. Penargil is in one of those drought times where they lost 20 seniors and trying to build around one guy they had. But Wilson got some great confidence. Wilson has some size up front. Wilson needed to get that monkey off their back, which they did. So Wilson knows what they're going to face at Palisades. They were very upbeat tonight. I think they have one of the best running backs in the Colonial League is this Job Goodman. This kid is very, very talented. He's a track star. He's a hurdler. So the guy can do just about anything on a football field as well. And his closing speed on defense is something we saw him do as a sophomore. He is just a junior. So I was glad for the Wilson coaches, for the Wilson community, for the Wilson players. And I could see it over there tonight. So, yeah, I'm very pleased for them. I also, though, want to speak for Penargil in that people have to understand in the Colonial League, particularly at the smaller schools, where you're only graduating at Penargil, 110 kids. Mm-hmm. Wilson had a big graduation year last year, 170. I mean, the depth factor is big. There were times that we went to Wilson practices in the last 2 years. I'm out there watching them run half lines. One of the line coaches says, hey, can you jump in for a minute? I said, are you kidding me? I mean, that's tough in the Colonial League at the smaller schools. So Penargil's going to be one of those that's going to, people are going to have to be patient with them this year.
And the Wilson fans have been suffering the last few years. Some lean years here.
I covered that game, and I'll tell you what, I'm really impressed with Chris Labatch, their coach. I really like his enthusiasm. He brings a lot of what you would call warrior pride. He loves the past there. He loves the history. He's got those kids going through the history books. They're looking through old film. They did the jumping jacks at the end of the ball game like they used to do. And he's trying to instill pride in that program. You know, Wilson's sort of like one of those transient communities. A lot of people moved in maybe from outside the area, and they settled in Wilson. But so they need to be taught what Wilson football is all about. Chris is doing a great job with that. Job Goodman was fantastic. I thought Cameron Clark, their quarterback, was fantastic. He picked off a pass defensively. They're going to win games. I don't know if they're going to beat Palisades, but the Warriors are back to a nice level, and they're going to win some football games, and maybe they can get into the District 11 playoffs, which would be a huge step for a program that lost 15 straight before last Saturday.
And remember, 10 years ago, John, you know this very well, 10 years ago, they were the premier team
Absolutely.
In the Colonial League, the air raid offense under Brett Kopp. And, you know, a couple years in a row, they just produced great quarterback after great quarterback and great set of receivers. They're not winning that way. But obviously, as you said, Goodman is a big talent at Wilson right now.
And a team that actually beat Terrell Pryor, you know, not too long ago. So
2006.
Yeah. But that Goodman kid.
Batch was on the field, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
When I brought up that game, I said, I was there that day. You guys won it all. Uh-huh. He brought it, had a big smile. That's the kind of thing he wants his kids to know about. These kids weren't, you know, they were youngsters. A lot of them were youngsters. Some of them weren't even born probably when the Warriors walked off Hershey Park Stadium as state champions in 2006. He wants them to know about that and all the great teams, as John Breiner can speak about, all the great teams that have come through Wilson over the years.
I mean, what I like about Goodman is this. The kid could catch the ball. Yeah. He had two catches, I think averaged 50 yards a catch. And then he had, 168 yards
two
rushing.
Two catches, 118 yards.
Yeah, he had
last
five
week,
total touchdowns. And the Clark kid, you know, a quarterback, that combination. You know, they're going to win some games. I mean, last year, 0-10. Well, guess what? They're 1-0. Yeah. So what a great turnaround.
And the key is Clark. And Clark can move, too. He's got great feet. And, John, you know teams are going to load up the box against Goodman. It's going to take a little bit of passing, a little bit of Cameron Clark, and maybe another running back running the football to kind of keep defenses off strike, because you can't give the ball to Goodman, you know, 30 times a game and expect him, because they're going to go after him. There's no question.
They have a wideout named Quadir Collier, who's very fast, and they can try to get the ball to him on the outside just to open it up a little bit, exactly as you said, Keith. But Job Goodman, when he hits the corner, he's in stride, and he's going to be tough to stop. They just need to keep their linemen healthy enough and fresh enough to give him a little bit of a seam, and that will be the key. Chris Labatch is an old lineman. He knows how to get that done, and he has some kids that are enthusiastic, and it was fun to watch a little bit tonight. It was.
And a quick reminder, you'll see Wilson versus Palisades this Saturday on RCN-TV. Right now, it is Keith's favorite part of the show each week. It's where he sounds off and talks about everything and anything on his sports mind. We call it Growler's Grumblings. Keith?
Well, I got to tell you, I'm 35 years at the morning call, and most of my Friday nights over the years have been spent at places like J. Bernie Crum Stadium. They've been spent at places like Parkland, Emmaus, Whitehall, Easton, Bethel Mary School District Stadium. But this year, I'm going to spend a lot more nights at Colonial League venues. And I'll tell you what, when I go to a Colonial League venue, I think this is where it's at. This is where football should be played. Great towns like New Tripoli, Palmerton, Slatington, Center Valley, all these great schools, everybody comes together. Communities are tighter than they are maybe in some of the, at the bigger schools. And so far, I covered two games in the Colonial League last weekend up at Penn Arch. I was there for the big Wilson win. I was down at little old Kintnersville in Bucks County where Palisades knocked off Notre Dame. Having a lot of fun, experiencing new things here. You can teach an old dog some new tricks. And I'm learning that there's a lot of great kids, a lot of great coaches, a lot of great communities in the Colonial League. And I'm looking forward to doing the previews every week, getting to talk to these guys, and then seeing a lot of games on weekends. So, Colonial League, here I am, and we're looking forward to it.
All right, very good. We're joined tonight by the host of the RCN Halftime Show, Patty Ditzel. She's standing by with the Nazareth Cheering Squad to talk about their upcoming season. Patty?
Hey, Chris, I'm enjoying spending this show with the Nazareth Area High School Cheerleading Squad. I've got two co-coaches. Your name?
Barbie Mahovich.
And yours?
Mindy Heimbach.
How long have both of you been involved in cheerleading?
Barbie's on her 26th year, sorry. I'm on my 17th year.
And Barbie, how has the sport changed over those years?
Oh, immensely. It's moved to more athleticism and gymnastics and stunting and making sure that the girls have to be in top physical shape than it was 20 years ago.
So you've got a lot of safety concerns during your practices and during your competitions.
That's correct. We certainly do. And our athletic training staff, luckily, is on top of us. They know what we're doing when we're doing it. And anytime a cheerleader comes with a bump or a bruise, Barbie and I have to answer why.
Let's talk to their best gymnast on the team. What's your name?
Hi, I'm Carly Calcaio.
Tell us about your gymnastic experience.
Well, I've been cheering since second grade, and I've been doing gymnastics since probably like I was like 5 or 6. And I really incorporated into cheerleading because I'm on the competitive team, and on the score sheet, tumbling is a big factor of it. So I use that in my competitive cheer career.
Have you ever been injured?
No, knock on wood. But you never know.
You must have some great coaches then, teaching you the skills without getting you injured.
Of course, and they're the best.
Will you be continuing once you graduate?
I hope so. I hope to cheer in college. I love cheering so much. So,
what is the most difficult gymnastic skill you can do?
I can do a whip through to a layout, and I am working on a full currently.
Okay, so the whip through to the layout. You sticking the landing every time?
Since I'm not perfect, not every time, but I try my best. I think I do pretty well with it.
I think you probably do, too. let's talk to our next cheerleader. What is your name?
My name's Sarah.
What kind of practice schedule did you have over the summer to get ready for this football season?
Well, over the summer, we went to a UCA cheer camp that was in July at Monmouth University, where we worked on numerous skills and stunts where we're going to use towards our season. And they also had a grand championship at the end that we won. And then we kicked off our season in August with 3-day practices.
That's a lot of work. Were you stiff and sore?
Yeah, definitely really sore after camp.
Did you do your show last weekend?
Yeah, we did.
How did it go?
It went really great.
Oh, have a great season. Our next cheerleader, what is your name?
Raya Morgan.
And are you planning on continuing cheering when you go to college?
Yes, I plan to. I really love cheerleading. I'm actually looking into Misericordia University. They have a great physical therapy program, a great cheering program, and I'm really interested in cheering there.
So is physical therapy going to be your major?
Yeah, I think so.
So you might be treating some of these cheerleaders.
Definitely.
We hope not. And after college, what do you plan to do?
Well, I hope to further that career in physical therapy and get that rolling, you know.
We'll be looking forward to it. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
And our last cheerleader, what is your name?
Amanda Wagner.
Now, you are one of the co-captains of the squad. What are your duties as the captain?
Definitely one of our duties is just to lead the team, obviously. But honestly, I think it's more just being a role model, just not only for varsity, but the younger girls as well, and for being a spirit ambassador for the whole school.
Do you have some competitions coming up?
Yes, we do. Our first competition is actually November 4th at Wilson High School. Then we have a November 11th competition, which is actually a regional competition. So if we get a bid, which is like an invitation, we can go down to the National High School Cheerleading Championship down in Florida, which we tried to do again. We did it last year, so hopefully.
Well, we're wishing you good luck with that. Do you think you're ready for the competitions?
Definitely. We put in a lot of hard work, and we already did the choreography, so we have the routine put together. We just have to perfect it now.
Great. We'll be looking forward to that. Let's have a cheer for the show. Sending it back to you, Chris.
All right. Before we move on, though, we have some payback here. Last year, for people that watched last year's show, Nazareth Cheerleaders were here. One of our expert panelists was not too optimistic about Nazareth this year. And Coach Heimbach stood up and said, you watch, Nazareth is going to surprise some people. That very week they came, I think they beat Whitehall, and they had a spectacular run. They made the district playoffs. And you, not our expert, which we will not mention who, did a great job of defending Nazareth, and your prediction turned out to be right. So, Mindy, we got to give you an extra shout-out here. And do you have any prediction or anything you want to say about this year's team?
All I have to say about this year's team is all you read all offseason was how young we were, how young we were, how young we were. Our young guys and a couple of our veterans hung 50 points up on the team we played last weekend. So all I can say is don't sleep on the Blue Eagles. You never know what they're going to bring.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first last year.
And Mindy, I just want to say, I know Mindy's involved with the McDonald's.
That's right.
All-Star game every June up there in Nazareth. Yep. And I know you could be doing so many other things, but you want to be involved in that great organization. You usually have a number of Nazareth cheerleaders.
Yep.
Hats off to you for giving up your time and your girls for putting that effort in, putting on a good show for a great cause, and I want to commend you for that
as well. Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. It is. It's a great organization, and the Nazareth cheerleaders are always so quick to say, we're in, let's do this.
All right, very good. All right, we're going to see the Nazareth cheering group perform once again, along with the Southern Lehigh Band, all straight ahead on tonight's edition of RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Welcome back to our third and final night of RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. We focused on the EPC South on Tuesday night, the EPC North on Wednesday night, and on the Thursday night show tonight, we're focusing on the Colonial League. Our special expert panelists up on the stage, senior sports writer from The Morning Call, Keith Groller, Dave Micah from EasternPAFootball.com, and John Breidinger, Johnny B. from the RCN Sports Department. I want to ask you guys about some of the northern teams from the Colonial League. Northern Lehigh, Northwestern, Penn Argyle, they each have some hurdles to overcome. All three of those schools have some great histories, though, and quality coaching staff. So I'm optimistic those three teams can have some semblance of success this year.
My focus, I wrote the column before I came over here, my focus is on three teams that really need to bounce back. Now, two of them are playing each other, so one will, for sure. I'm talking about Northern Lehigh welcoming Catasauqua to Slatington. The other team that needs to bounce back, and we talked about them a little bit last night. Maybe I didn't mention their name last night, but Northwestern is going through a bit of a internal situation there. They lost a couple kids. They had an off-campus incident. Violations occurred with school board policy. Those kids have been suspended. They missed the game last week against Palmerton. I was told today that those kids will rejoin the team in a couple of weeks, not in time for tomorrow night's game against the Salisbury Falcons. But the three schools that really need to get back and get back on track quickly, Northern Lehigh, Catasauqua, and Northwestern, those three to the north. And like I said, I think Northwestern is capable. Salisbury had a big win, huge win for the Falcons to knock off Caddy like they did. Andy Serco doing a good job with the Falcons, and they had over 500 yards of offense. Caddy talked all off season, by the way, of improving that defense. And from week one, you got to say they're not getting it done. I talked to Phil Dorn last night, their head coach, and he is, you know, like, wow, we got to really improve. And they better do it in a hurry, or else they're going to be 0-2. And when you're in districts, I know we have more teams going to districts than ever before, but you don't want to start out 0-2 even before we celebrate Labor Day.
Well, Caddy, they're in 2A, because last year they went into week 8 or week 9. I think they only had 4 wins, and they still had a shot at the playoffs if they had won the rest of their games. So they have a little bit of slack, I think. But you're right, you certainly don't want to start off the year 0-2. Dave and John, some of your thoughts on some of the northern teams in the Colonial League?
Yeah, I mean, Caddy, they returned their quarterback, Andrew Brett, a kid that threw 178 yards last week. They have a good rusher, and the Clemens kid who had 168 yards. So they have talent there. They just need to work on their defense, figure that out. But they're going to score a lot of points.
Yep. John?
Well, Caddy has a real good tradition of hard-hitting football. Mm-hmm. So they will come along, and you will see some better defense out of Caddy, because the Caddy kids will always hit you. No matter who coaches them or whoever was there, that's what they do. The problem at Caddy has been, and that, again, another small high school, 100 kids graduate from Caddy. You know, their numbers are tough. It's hard to practice when you don't have the numbers like that. They don't hit most of the week at Caddy and a lot of the other small schools. So your tackling does not get any better if you're not practicing it, and that's a factor that gets better during the year. So I think we have Caddy Panargil in 2 weeks, you and I, Chris. That could be a really interesting game because they're both young and small teams. But I think Northern Lehigh, again, a really well-coached team, has had some tremendous years over time. But they thrive on getting some good-sized linemen. That's not happening as much anymore. They thrive on being able not to play 250-pound tackles both ways. That's not happening because they just don't have the numbers. Then this year, quarterback transfers on them. Guy they were building an offense around. He transfers and moves to Palmerton. And a great athlete. Joe Tout and his staff, Steve Felushak's been around for a long time, does a great job. But you can only get so much on X's and O's. You got to go out and block and tackle, and that's tough. Northwestern Lehigh, a growth school district, graduating 200, 212, something like that, growing in New Tripoli. However, with what's going on up there now, that throws a monkey wrench into things. They have an excellent quarterback. This kid's going to get better. He started as a freshman. And as it pains me to say this, they got a Lehigh graduate, tremendous wide receiver.
Your son went to Lehigh. What's wrong
with
that?
Yeah, well, it still pains me to say it. But anyway, Josh Schneider does a great job.
Yeah, he does.
Northwestern guy. Real talk about being into it and homegrown. Josh Schneider is an excellent coach and a great kid and a great teacher. And he will bring them along up there. And he will hopefully be able to stick to his principles through this mess as well.
Well, he will. And Northwestern, by and large, has great kids. I mean, I cover them in other sports, and they're all great kids. Made a mistake here. They're going to pay a price for that mistake. Hopefully, they've learned from what's transpired. They're going to miss opportunities. You know, you only get 10 football games guaranteed you in a season. If you're lucky, you get to play week 11, week 12. They're going to miss now, looks like, those kids 3 games at least. And they know that they've been the source of conversation in that community. Again, as I said in my grumblings last night, you got to be a little smarter when you're analyzing the big picture. Do you want to throw away a career or at least part of a career over one night of partying and that kind of stuff? I think not. Be smart and do the right thing. And those Northwestern kids hopefully have learned that lesson. I think they'll bounce back.
I agree 100% with you, Keith. And I also believe, though, that these are kids. They make mistakes. But the worst part of this experience for them, in my opinion, would be for me, is leaving my teammates down.
Yeah,
this is such an impact on that team.
Right.
And again, they're graduating 200, 212, but it's still, they're not getting 80 kids out for football at Northwestern Lehigh. They might get 50, 60 kids max. So this is a big thing. Some of these kids are two-way players. This is a big deal. But Josh Schneider, again, positive attitude. Give the younger kids a chance. People forget many times at any level, in any league, the kids that play in practice all week, the kids that are second team, the kids that are running scout team, they learn something from those other guys. They're going to be that good from playing against those guys. And these kids will step up at Northwestern Lehigh as they do at some of the other schools that we've seen. I particularly point at Saucon Valley, lost most of their line. But those second teamers played against Cody Zerinsky and Stephen Good and those monsters. And these kids learn something from that. And so it's a learning process in high school, makes it fun.
All right, you know, one other thing. How much time do we got left in this segment? I don't know if I want to. Well, okay, not enough time in this segment. But one thing I do want to ask about, Northwestern has a tough road in 4A. I mean, Jason Zimmerman, I think, does a great job. He's the Northwestern AD, District 11 football chair. But you look at that 4A bracket, and you 6A, 5A, 2A, you got all these teams and all these opportunities. I think 4A, you really have a tough
bracket. Well, Becca Central, you got Becca Central, Saucon's
in there. You got two more spots after that.
And Pottsville's in there, and Pottsville's always good up
Blue
in
Mountain.
Schuylkill County. Blue Mountain's
usually a decent
program.
Record.
Yeah, Josh Schneider knows. I mean, look at these are 3 games that some of these kids are missing, and they're really important players. I'm not going to name them.
Yeah.
But there's some really key guys that are involved in this thing that are going to miss some action. And if they could come out of the gate 0-3, they're done.
They're done, yeah.
In regard to making that 4-8 tournament.
They could be 8-2 and not
exactly.
make the playoffs.
Exactly.
That is ridiculous. We saw it last year. In fact, I think it's possible that you could have a team 9-1 and with the power points not make it.
See, a team like Central, because they're playing, Central and Becca playing,
they get more power points.
A lot of 5As and 6As in particular, you know, they're going to benefit and they're going to pick up those points. A Becca and Central has a larger margin for error. They can actually probably qualify at 6-4. Northwestern doesn't have that luxury.
All right, we're going to continue. I didn't mean to open up the can of worms. I just was going to tease it, so we will get back to that conversation in just a little bit. We do have Patty Ditzel from RCN standing by, and as we mentioned, she is the host of the Halftime Show, which you can see throughout the week on RCN and on demand, and she is standing by with members of the Southern Lehigh Marching Band.
Hey, Chris. I'm here with Larry Fisher, the band director of the Southern Lehigh High School Spartan Marching Band. We did a little bit of an interview last season on the Halftime Show, but it's great to see you again, Larry.
Great to see you, too. Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thanks for bringing the band along. What have you been concentrating on with the band? You got this job in 2015. You've been there for 2 years working with them. What improvements are you making? What are you changing around?
Well, we've kind of changed around our warm-up routine. We're doing a lot of long tones, which is kind of the calisthenics for the musicians back there to build their chops. Last year, we were at 48 playing musicians. This year, we're at 63. So we're growing. Our administration has done a great job supporting us with different instruments, because with more kids, we need more of the specialty instruments, the sousaphones, the quint percussion, the pit percussion that you'll see during our show. So there's been a lot of changes, and the kids have handled it in stride, and I'm really proud of all they've accomplished so far.
And I'm sure that the school district is really proud of you for increasing the size of the band so much when so many bands are dwindling away. How did you do that? Do you walk around to the kids and you say, come on, join the band?
There's a few kids in the back here that didn't play an instrument last year, and we just kind of... or a band instrument. We have a violinist who's playing mellophone. We have a singer who's now, she's playing in the pit percussion. So I'm just recruiting as many as I can of the kids as I can. I'm going down to the middle school, talking to them, you know, trying to get down there once a month so they see that I'm a friendly face, and just trying to reach out and start the recruitment a little earlier than usual.
You're doing a great job. So how did they do in their first halftime show out this season, last weekend?
Well, let me tell you, it's a great show. We're doing the music of Billy Joel, and they are owning it right now. It's a really difficult show. They are reaching the expectations that have been set and exceeding them. So it's going to be a really great year for these guys and ladies back there, and we're going to really take it to every football game and do our best.
What did they play at the top of this sports talk show tonight?
The top of the show was our fight song, Alabama Jubilee. When Mr. Belaski, the previous band director, was approached with coming up with a fight song, he didn't want to have something standard, so he found a nice arrangement of Alabama Jubilee, something that not many schools play. So it's a great little tune, and it gets everyone fired up.
And what are they playing at the end of the show?
At the end of the show, you're going to hear our opener of our Billy Joel show. So it's My Life, Only the Good Die Young, and Pressure. Maybe we'll get into the Just the Way You Are, but we'll see how far we have with the credits.
Thanks. Thanks for interviewing us, and thanks for bringing the band here tonight. One of the other people we want to meet here is a member of the Color Guard. What's your name?
Celeste Tran.
And how long have you been on the Color Guard?
About 3 years.
And so you twirl the rifle? Is that that's what you do during the shows?
The correct term is spin.
Sorry. Okay, I stand corrected. What else do you do as the band is marching on the field?
Well, we provide the visual effect while the marching band is playing. So any crescendos, any like final moments that the band has, the color guard really brings it out.
Oh, great. Have a great season. And our next band member is?
Marissa Harley.
And what is your instrument?
I play the oboe, and in the marching band, I play the vibraphone.
How long have you been playing music?
I've been playing piano since I was 5, and I started the oboe in 4th grade.
The oboe in 4th grade. That's a very difficult instrument. It's very difficult to start so early. So were you learning in school? Did you have private lessons?
I started in school, and then I started private lessons that same year.
Are you still taking private lessons on the oboe?
Yeah.
And are you planning on continuing with it after you graduate?
I want to study music in college. I want to study oboe. So.
Wow, as a performance major?
Or education, I'm not sure yet.
Mm-hmm. What school are you looking at?
I'm not sure yet.
All right, all the conservatories will send your name out.
Yeah.
Thanks for talking with us. Next up is our drum major. And your name?
Emma Duane.
How long have you been the drum major here?
I was field captain my sophomore year and then junior drum major last year, and this year I'm senior drum major.
Wow. What instrument do you play?
I've played the flute since fourth grade, so this is my ninth grade playing it.
And so you played the flute in the band the first year and then?
Yes, I did. I went into high school playing the flute and piccolo, and then this is my first year not playing the flute like at all, and it's really hard for me. Yeah, I miss it.
So, as the drum major, you're conducting the band. Where did you learn to conduct?
I actually went to the Drum Major Academy at Kutztown the summer before my sophomore year, and I learned a lot of conducting and marching basics. So it was a really, really, really good refresher.
So you went there during the summer before your sophomore year. Then you came and you did band camp?
Yes, band camp every year. It's one of the most fun parts of band, to be honest.
Oh, I'm glad you have fun. Next, what's your name?
Sam Wetzel.
And your instrument, I see, is the trombone. How long have you been in the band?
I've been in the band, I'm a junior, so this is my third year, and I've been playing the trombone since fourth grade.
Wow. So tell us about the practice sessions that you had this summer. How long did you practice? How many weeks? How many hours a day?
Well, we build up to it. So we started in the second week of July with three rehearsals a week, and they're just in the evenings. And then the first week of August is what we call band camp. And that's it's 8 in the morning to like 8 at night. So it's a long day, but I think we all love it, and we get a lot of really hard work done.
So who's working harder, the band or the football team?
No comment.
That's always the safe answer. And so what do you think if Mr. Fisher was going to give you a grade for what you did this summer before school started, what grade would he give you?
I hope an A.
And if you had a chance to give Mr. Fisher a grade, what grade would you give him?
He works pretty hard, so I guess he gets an A too.
Oh, really? An A? Would everybody give him an A?
All right, great job.
Hey,
thank
we're throwing it back to you, Chris.
Thank you so much, Southern Lehigh's marching band. We'll hear from them in a little bit. And another performance by the Nazareth Cheerleaders, all straight ahead. Let's give it up for the Nazareth Cheerleaders, putting on another spectacular show here at the RCN Famarama. We're so glad to have everyone out here tonight. Quick programming note, people in the grandstands here, make sure you stick around. The Marvelous Mutts, Canine Spectacular, they put on a great show that's coming up next, immediately following our show. So stick around and take in their spectacular show. People watching us on RCN, you can watch their performance on RCN On Demand. And real quick, Keith. I have a new favorite here at the Allentown Fair. We go around to eat at a lot of different places all week long. Willow Street Restaurant is my new favorite. You have to go there. Shrimp, chicken, clam, seafood clam chowder, they have everything.
They're in the spot in the corner over there, the old Yakko spot for people who remember that. Yeah. Willow Street does a great job. We usually stop there. And if you're buying, I'm in. I'm in. Me and Micah and Breiting are
John
all in.
John makes a lot of money. He just came back from Europe for 3 weeks.
Now I have no money. The pound dollar thing, you know, all that.
All right. Well, yeah, Willow Street Pub, new favorite there. And by the way, Colonial League is so big, we're not going to be able to spend equal time on all the teams tonight. But if you were with us a couple weeks ago, we spent quite a bit of time on a lot of the schools that we have not mentioned tonight. So if you want to hear more about some of those schools, go back to our preview show number one on demand, in which we touch on a lot of those different school districts. Keith, Dave, and John, a couple minutes left in our program, but what are some of your other thoughts and teams to watch and players to watch in the Colonial League this year?
Well, I think Cole DeFranco, I think a kid that is capable of throwing 3,000 yards this year. He's an exciting quarterback. I really like watching him. He's a great leader, so look out for him.
Okay, I like Saucon Valley. I like Austin Wolf a lot. Austin Wolf, an all-league wide receiver, now playing some quarterback. Very good athlete. They have a terrific running back named Zach Petit. He got a lot of yards last year when Nate Keyes went down, and Zach is very, very athletic as well as very quick. And then I think, again, Joe Goodman at Wilson is one of the top players in that league and a tremendous athlete. Logan Sterner at Panargil. They're building the whole team around the guy up there. And then, of course, Palisades, with all these guys coming back, it's fun. It's going to be fun to watch those two running backs that Dave Micah mentioned earlier, Gretzinger and Coletti.
Southern Lehigh, I'm looking forward to seeing the Spartans. I think, by the way, that's because their band is here and they're going to do great Billy Joel selections here. Southern Lehigh has great, great school. Get to visit them quite a bit in softball season. Get to see them a lot in boys basketball. Keep doing what you're doing, Southern Lehigh. You're doing things the right way. And, you know, people talk a lot about Parkland and Emmaus, but Southern Lehigh is right there as one of the class schools in the Lehigh Valley. And you're going to see some of them on display here, some of their fine students on display here in a few minutes.
By the way, I've noticed your family is moving away from us more over to the marvelous Mutz show.
They are. They're more interested in the Mutz, I guarantee you.
All right. John, you wanted to touch on Bangor, too. I know you follow the Slaters quite closely. We haven't seen them on RCN the last few years. Hopefully we can see them again real soon, although we did have some interviews both on the website and earlier on tonight's show.
Well, Bangor is an anomaly for me. Bangor is the largest school in the Colonial League, graduating close to 300 now. They have some terrific athletes. They play great basketball. They play great baseball. They're women.
Great softball. Don't forget softball.
I was just going to say, they're female sports, softball, hockey. They're good in all those things. They're a great wrestling team. But somehow football just isn't coming along. I think with Tom Toth now as coach.
Yeah, he's the guy.
They're going to have some continuity because, number one, Tom Toth knows a lot of these kids. He was their principal a lot of times. So all that's working, and I run into some of these kids in my little job at Career Institute of Technology, some of these Bangor kids. They're very capable, and I'm hoping they turn things around a little bit this year at Bangor.
Yep. All right, let's turn things over one more time to the Southern Lehigh Band as we wrap up another great week here at the RCN Famarama Theater at the great Allentown Fair. Thank you.